Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Javier, a pretty good finish to the SmackDown World Cup tournament, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the tournament took place on Fox. They made sure to drive that point home. Ricochet comes out on top here, and I'm curious, just like lots of things to discuss on the show, but we'll just start with the main event, and I'm curious as to where you're at on that Ricochet win. Is it an elevation of Ricochet, or is it just, hey, we need a babyface to face Gunther, and that makes more sense, so we'll give Ricochet the win? Is there something bigger at play here, Javier, or is this just, you know, just something to serve up to Gunther on a silver platter?
Probably serving something up to Gunther on a silver platter. Someone who could actually, you know, work, and I think that's mainly it. Although it is a shot, yet another shot, you know, and hopefully one that he can take advantage of Ricochet showing what he can do. And this was definitely a case, you know, this match, obviously you had, you know, two great workers put on a good match. You know, and Ricochet looked strong coming out of it, which judging by the rest of the World Cup, a lot of most of the matches ended up with some sort of like screwy or interference finish or something. So having like a legit ending for the match and one where he, you know, put in the work makes him look good. It could be just so that you get that one match with Gunther, but you could always continue riding that momentum further. So, and hopefully it works out. Cause I mean, you know, hopefully he's put in a good position because he's a great Ricochet's great in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. And I think today, like in this match in particular, and really like the tournament in general, suits kind of Ricochet well. I mean, he's not a guy that you can put in the middle of the ring and have him cut, you know, a 5-minute promo or even like a backstage, you know, vignette where he's going to do something or, you know, confront somebody or cut a backstage promo. Like that's really not him. And I think, you know, prior to the last month and a half, maybe 2 months, and especially in the Vince McMahon regime, you know, they had him just doing all sorts of things that just wasn't in his comfort zone. And I think his comfort zone is going out there and having really good matches. And that's what he did here. And I think, you know, that is going to put a ceiling on how high he can get in WWE, because you have to be able to cut those promos if you're going to be at the top of the card. But there's also something to be said for, hey, if you can't do that, play to your strengths, book a guy to his strengths, and let him go out there and do his thing. And I think that's what we saw here the last handful of weeks with Ricochet. And frankly, you know, he comes across as a bigger star than he did, I think, prior to this tournament, because he was able to just lean in to what he does best. And it's not going to mean WrestleMania main events, but clearly, as we just saw, it can mean SmackDown TV main events on a regular basis. And that's not a bad thing.
Or even if he's just in a position like Chad Gable, who is your workhorse, who just wrestles, and even if he loses, just somebody who can, you know, be someone that you can, a body you can use to help other people get to where they need to go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So on the flip side though, Javier, you know, you had Santos Escobar, you know, in this tournament, obviously he won, you know, he won some matches to get to the finals. But he loses the big one tonight. Where does that put him in terms of like the hierarchy of SmackDown right now, because he's a relatively new talent on the SmackDown roster. And, you know, he and Legado del Fantasma have lost some matches. You know, they lost the one to Hit Row. He's lost here today. Like, does this tell you anything about, you know, how Triple H is going to use him moving forward, or is it just, you know, hey, we want a clean finish here, it's a bump in the road, and you're not reading too much more into it other than that? I think the reason I asked is because I think he has such a high upside. The vignette that they did, you know, in the lead up to the match tonight with, you know, Legado and Zelina Vega and Santos Escobar, like, smoking cigars and talking, like, that was really well done. And, you know, I can see that continuing to be something that they go to, but you gotta feed the guy some wins too. And so I hope this isn't a trend for him, because I think he does provide value to SmackDown.
I think they're basically the third group, because not just him, because, you know, you need to kind of count the whole Legado yeah. with them. I think that group is just the third down. So you have the Bloodline, you have the Imperium, and then you have Legado. So hopefully, you know, I mean, this is basically boosting Ricochet up to face Imperium. Which I'm assuming, you know, most likely he's not going to be beating Gunther. You know, that was for those purposes. I would just feed them wins and at some point put them up against Imperium, because you've got these factions. I think right now they're just going to be using mainly as a body who could do, you know, a good amount of work. You don't want to completely crush them and destroy them, but the guy has got enough charisma and has Zelina Vega who could, you know, talk them back from losses. So, you know, some wrestlers, like, you know, you just don't really realize how much they've lost just because they could talk themselves back to that point, which is a great thing to have, because those are the wrestlers that can lose. And I think that because of his charisma and his you know, Zelina Vega's charisma and the work that they do, I think, well, you want to make sure you don't, like, just bury them. They could take more losses and still, you know, get built up.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because, yeah, this is like maybe a thing where for Santos and Legado, it's a step back for like two steps forward. You know, do you want to have him win this match, then just go get stomped by Gunther if that's the path that the winner of this tournament is going to go on. You know, it may be better to lose this match and move on to other things, you know, in which you can shine a little bit more and not just be kind of fodder for Gunther and Imperium. That's a good, really good point on your part. Let's pause right there. We've got some folks waiting in the call queue to get on the air, so we will make sure to get to as many people as we can. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the December 2nd, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I am not Wade Keller. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn. Wade is on assignment tonight, so I'll be covering it for him, and he'll be on the VIP side of things a little bit later with the Wade Keller Hotline, running down tonight's episode to SmackDown. Go VIP and check that out, pwtorch.com/goVIP. You can check out that show as well as a host of other VIP podcasts, everything with Rich Fan, Fix with Todd Martin and Wade, and much, 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 much more. pwtorch.com/goVIP. The other voice you hear with me tonight is Javier Machado from pwtorch.com and host of a VIP audio show on New Japan. Javier, it is a pleasure, my friend. Happy holidays. Happy Friday.
Hey, Zach, how's it going? You forgot the long-winded Javier Machado, as Wade dubbed me last Wednesday, or this Wednesday. So
I'm trying to, you know, turn babyface here. So,
yeah.
You know,
I'm the heel. You're the babyface. I'm the heel. That's you know, our relationship here. I'll be back with the New Japan Pride podcast previewing Wrestle Kingdom when we get closer to that, since that is like their version of WrestleMania, and looking forward to that.
Yes, it should be one heck of a show. It's one night again, which is I think better, and
thank God.
Yeah, there's some big matches on that.
Yeah.
So once again, folks, pwtorch.com/goVIP. Javier just nails the coverage for New Japan. And yeah, now's the time to go VIP and check that out with Wrestle Kingdom looming here in just about a month. We'll go ahead, Javier, and we'll open up the phone lines here. The call-in number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. If you're in the call queue, make sure you press 1 if you want to get on the show. It flags you on our switchboard here, and I know to call on you. If you don't want to chat with us tonight, but you do want to get your thoughts in on tonight's show, waykellerpodcast@gmail.com is the phone number to do that, or phone number, email to do that, waykellerpodcast@gmail.com. We've got a lot to get to. I mean, as the show was going on tonight, Javier, I was kind of like, not sure how newsworthy it's going to be. And I think if you look at it collectively, it's hard to kind of pinpoint, wow, there's a major angle or there's a major angle. But there's a lot of little things that I want to get to, including Bray Wyatt. I want to get to the Sami Zayn stuff. I want to get to that little Usos kind of interaction backstage with Jimmy kind of almost kind of egging Jay on in terms of like, hey, are you really okay with this Sami Zayn thing? So I want to get into that. And a bunch of other stuff. So lots and lots and lots to do, but we'll open up the phone lines and we will start with 615. I believe this is Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 615, Sean, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Zach, it's always good to be on with you, man. Like I said, you and Tyler on the YouTube channel is fantastic. Javier, man, you know when you're on the show live here in person, I had to talk to you, man. You're just a man. That's all I can say. How are you guys? Good to talk to you as always.
We're doing good, man. Glad you called. I'm scrolling through here to find your jingle. I will have it at some point before you get off the call today.
Good talking to you, Sean. had to wait until Zach took a breath. Like, what's that in there? I was
right?
talking to you.
No, it's good. Same here.
Sean, what did you think of SmackDown, man?
No, I it was a good show, very good show. For an FS1 show as well, that's what I thought too after the show. I was like, wow, they knew ahead of time they were going to be on FS1 because of the championship game, which I'm watching on mute as I'm talking to you guys because, you know, I love college football. But really good show. I'm gonna throw a quick curveball because nobody's going to start with this. Nobody's going to talk about this. You guys will at some point. You guys will. Nobody else will. I want to hear what you guys thought about Lacey Evans back to the basics. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I have so many things to say about this. I don't know. So with Lacey Evans, okay, I think she's very talented. I don't have a problem with Lacey Evans. I think there could be something there. I just feel like, how many more gimmicks are you going to give this woman before we realize that maybe this is not what she's meant to do? Maybe WWE is not just for her. Her character, she just has some character flaws when she gets out there that just don't. I think as a heel, if they do something in the heel category where they have something good planned, I think, yes, it could be okay. That there's something there. But I don't know, guys. Like, I'm just laughing about it because I don't know where this could go, and I don't think she's made for WWE. She's tried 3 different gimmicks, and none of them have gone anywhere. So what do you guys think about that? I'm curious to hear what both of you guys think about it.
Javier, why don't you go ahead and take that first?
Well, I have a soft spot for Lacey Evans. I actually always, you know, root for her. But, yeah,
right.
I think I wrote down this is what my notes, Lacey Evans takes 6, I think is what I wrote. Yeah, there it is. And then underneath that, I hope this sticks. They're going to do, because they recently have been pushing they talked about the next Tribute to the Troops thing. And when you watch the video in the bottom, it actually thanks the Department of Defense, I think, you know, because apparently that was shot with their help. So I think they might be doing something like that, like actually showing real training, because this looks like it's just part 1 of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be doing that, like a kind of a cross promotion with the military. I think that's most likely, you know, looks like what that is, and they're using her for that. Hopefully something comes out of it. I kind of wish that they would settle on something with her, and I'd also like to see her given a shot at a real match, because I don't think I've ever seen her, like, in a real match that that's not like WWE style, you know, I want to see something that's like NXT style, basically, her participant in something, because I actually do not know how good of a wrestler she is. But she has charisma, and, you know, I mean, that, and that, you know, so I just want to, I'm hoping that this sticks. I do pull for her, you know, I do pull for her.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Lacey Evans thing is more about, at this point, it's kind of like, have all the WWE fans just seen too much? Have you seen her miss too many times to take anything that she does seriously again? You know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they've gone babyface with her, they've gone heel with her in multiple different types of characters, and it hasn't worked out for a multitude of different reasons. And it's just like, the question I'm wondering is fan base going to buy her at all, period, seeing as she kind of failed in all these different iterations? I mean, I think it's worth a shot. I think she does have, in my eyes, like, the charisma that, Javier, that you're talking about. It's just never been harnessed really in the right way. A lot of that, I think, came from wanting her to be a babyface. Like, if you look at all the iterations of her characters, they've started out on the babyface side of things, and then when that didn't go well, you know, she kind of has to pivot. Okay, well, okay, now you're a heel now. I hope in this instance they just make her a heel, give the fans kind of the permission to boo her. It's going to be hard because she's got this kind of the military angle to her gimmick, which is just such a positive story for her as a person. But it's yet to play, you know, in terms of getting her actually cheered as a babyface as a pro wrestling character. So I hope this is, you know, an attempt to get her back on the heel side of things, get her firmly in that area. And then don't start her off at the top of the card either. You know, I think you put her in the middle or the bottom of the women's division and have her kind of just build some heel momentum and if she gets to the top, great. If she doesn't, all right, well then that's fine too. She's just a mid-card heel in the women's division. They need those. But yeah, they got to be careful with this, Sean, because will fans buy her? I don't know. I think it's worth an attempt, as I said, but man, they got to be super careful and kind of just watch what they do, or else, you know, you're just one bad step away from it all kind of falling to pieces once again. Javier, any comments on that?
Yeah, she's like a quarterback who's drafted late in the first round and is started too early. That they're not their game's not complete, and it's a crappy team, and it destroys their confidence. And, you know, and maybe at some point they get traded to another team, and then they look better on that team. That's kind of what her entire thing has been. Because, I mean, remember at one point she was the number one woman on one of the whichever roster she was on, and that was like that was insane. So I mean, it's been a lot of bad breaks because, you know, she basically was elevated way too fast, way too beyond where she was at the time that she was. I agree with you that the biggest hurdle for her right now is the fact that a lot of fans are just going to be over her at this point.
Yeah. You've described, Javier, every Bears quarterback for a long, long time.
Oh gosh.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for,
sorry about that.
Sean, back to you for any comments on what we said or a different topic altogether, or just to brag on me about Bears quarterbacks, either one.
Well, number one, Zach, at least this year I can't rag on you about anything because Aaron Rodgers is hurt, doesn't look very good, and the Packers look like garbage. So I can't say too much this year, you know, in that sense. But, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, Lacey, you know, she's got to start at the bottom. If there's any way to get her to at least somewhat of a decent level, she'd have to start, like you said, start at the bottom, get some wins, kind of build up something. And like you said, maybe it can at least go somewhere, but it's good. I don't think the fans will buy it. I don't think the fan, you know, I will, we will, if there's a good story told, but I don't think the fans are going to really get into it. I think there's going to be really no reaction when she comes out the next time. I don't think so. But moving on to what you were saying going back to the beginning, what you guys are talking about with, I like that there's different, you know, there were different matches tonight. I really enjoyed that. And going back to, mm-hmm. you know, the final with Ricochet and Escobar, here's where I was with, you know, I was so torn because, to me, I guess if I was picking who I would want to win, I kind of wanted Santos to win only because he is newer on the main roster. Yes, he has the people with him. He's got Zelina behind him, and that's good. Like you, Javier, you made great points about that. Like I think he can boost back up and be okay. I mean, it was a great match. I mean, I think it was a great match for a TV match. I think Santos can go, but I think I don't like heel either. You know, Santos is going to face Gunther. I don't like that. Cause who do you root for? You know, but with Ricochet, I'm torn because I don't think there's really. We know where Ricochet is. Like, he's great in the ring, but he's a mid-card guy. That's what he's been in WWE. He's had two matches with Gunther already. He's already had his rematch. So we just give people a second rematch now just because he won a World Cup on Fox? Like, I'm fine, you know, with Ricochet. He is what he is. He's very good at what he does. Like, other than the promos, which you talked about, Zach, he's great in the ring. It was a great match, but I just don't want to see Ricochet Gunther 3. We've seen two matches. One, he got squashed. The other one, he put up a fight and he lost. I mean, what more can we see from him? And what do you guys think about that aspect of Ricochet?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, you know, that's a problem. I mean, I don't see this as like a elevation for Ricochet. It's more of like, well, all right, you're going to get this title match. But really, you know, the act that we're trying to serve here is Gunther, you know, and not you, Ricochet. So you're there to take punishment. You're there to make Gunther look strong, look good, and then you're going to go on and do your thing. And so that's why, you know, I'm like, do you want Santos Escobar in that role because of the upside that he has that we just haven't seen from Ricochet? And so when you analyze it from that angle, I go, yes, this is probably the right call because you don't want to define, you know, Santos down that much. But Ricochet, as you mentioned, you know, it's kind of Teflon at this point in this spot on the card for him. Like winning, losing, I don't think it really changes his position all that much. So I think what you'll see here is, you know, unfortunately for Ricochet, if you're him, you know, you'll see him win this tournament. He's going to go on to face Gunther and lose. And, you know, I still think in, you know, a month's time, you know, or maybe a little longer than that, but not too much, that Santos Escobar is still, you know, the main focus out of the two. So that's my take. Now, maybe I guess I could be surprised, but I see it more of a means to an end than, you know, hey, we're going to actually give Ricochet a big push here. Javier?
Yeah, all roads lead to Gunther Strowman. The thing is the fact that Strowman and Ricochet kissed and made up, the other day, I'm expecting Ricochet to put in a great match, much better than his previous two matches against Gunther and come really close to winning,
right.
Because that shows the growth of the character, particularly if they play up, you know, hey, he lost the title, then he had a rematch, it didn't go well for him, and he gets close to winning. And then after that, Imperium takes liberties with him, and then that's when Strowman comes out and, you know, he goes save his little buddy.
Right.
You know, and then in that case, you have now you going into the ultimate, because I'm picturing this to probably play off at WrestleMania. Ultimately you have now Strowman and Ricochet teaming up together against the other two guys, Kaiser and
oh my gosh, Giovanni.
Fabian,
oh, Vinci.
Giovanni. Okay, yeah, because I couldn't remember his new name. I was going Fabian Agner. So they will wrestle them. So to keep Strowman and Gunther apart as long as possible, I think that's the whole reason for Ricochet being involved in this, is to eventually get them involved. Maybe at some point add a third person since they're bringing people in. Maybe someone who's out there in the wild that they bring in to be a third man for that group.
Yeah, yeah.
And Zach, can I say something real quick, too, that I was thinking about? I was just thinking when you guys were talking about that is, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I feel bad doing that. I was thinking I think tournaments should be made to elevate someone. I just think if you win a tournament, I mean, WWE hasn't done a good job of this, and I think that's the problem. But a tournament, I think, should elevate you, and WWE's done such a bad job. And I think, it shouldn't elevate the loser. I think it should elevate a winner. And that's the only thing I kind of get torn on when, like, Ricochet wins the tournament, and he's just going to lose to Gunther. And it's like, okay, well, what did the tournament really do for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit about tournaments is, like, I want it to elevate someone, and then it doesn't. So is that weird, or am I crazy for thinking that, too?
No, I don't think so.
I agree with you in general, but that went out the window when they started when the first one. I think only one of the first matches ended with an actual legit ending, I believe, because I know Sami Zayn lost because of distraction. Another one ended because of interference. None of the matches except Mahal. None of the matches ended with a clean finish. So at that point, you're not elevating anybody because now you're still protecting people. I mean, I kind of feel silly when I first heard about the World Cup because I was like, oh, wow. I looked at the people involved, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, no one really needs to be super protected in this. And then everybody was like shenanigans up and down the card. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. That's why I don't see it as some – I agree with you, Sean, that a tournament should be used to do that, but that lost it when they started doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, it's like, you know, WWE, as you mentioned, has not done a great job. Even with the tournaments that they've kind of brought back that do matter historically, like King of the Ring, you know, even those, it's like, they're not elevating anybody. I don't think that's, you know, unless it's for like a title shot like this, it's kind of like, okay, they're kind of like time fillers on television more than anything at this point. And I think sometimes you're going to find that works out the way you're thinking, Sean, where it's like, okay, the timing is right to do a tournament and elevate somebody. And also, I think we're going to see the opposite, which is what we saw here of like, okay, well, we were able to fill like 3 weeks or 4 weeks of TV time here. We're going to get another, you know, week out of it with, you know, the Intercontinental title match. And then we're just going to, you know, move on with our lives. And the excuse will be, well, it's all about Gunther. And so I'm like, half of that, I'm like, yep, that makes sense. Because you want to keep that championship and that champion up on a higher pedestal. But it does kind of devalue the tournament if the tournaments regularly don't go anywhere for the winner. So they're going to have to balance it, especially if they do more of these. Real quick, Sean, I want to just use this as a launching point to just talk, and Javier, I want to get your take on this. Like, you know, Gunther on tonight's show and the Intercontinental Championship, so both, you know, the talent and the championship together, you know, really were outside of like the Bloodline story, like something that a lot of other angles on the show were pointing at. You know, you had the Ricochet stuff, you had the Braun Strowman stuff, you've got Kofi Kingston hovering around Gunther now. Obviously, Ricochet's there. Santos Escobar was, you know, in this tournament and therefore angling for a match against Gunther. It continues to position Gunther as like, you know, top of the food chain or near the top of the food chain on that show, especially when Roman Reigns isn't there. What do you make of his performance in that spot, Javier, tonight? And then I have one follow-up for you on that, too.
I mean, he's doing good. I think they could frame him a little bit better, though, because I'm waiting for the full Walter to come out. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's doing well. He's doing fine being at that second level. And there is a different feel. Granted, it was more apparent in NXT and NXT UK, where when he came out, it was like there was a change in the mood. Just like when, you know, you have the Bloodline hanging out, when Roman comes out, it's like, okay, daddy's home. We got to pay attention. It's not to the same, like on the same level, But for example, when they're talking to Kofi, it was when, you know, Gunther walking into the picture is definitely like a holy bleep moment. Like, uh-oh, now things are getting serious because Gunther's here. Because Gunther's been, presented as that much higher above his two underlings. So I think it is good, but it almost feels like they haven't – they could have done – they could do more, but I also don't think they want to do two more because they want the spotlight being on the Bloodline story.
Yeah. And then that was my follow-up question. So the Intercontinental title being, you know, a focus without Roman Reigns there and without the obviously the Undisputed World title, the Intercontinental title on SmackDown is kind of falling into a similar position that the U.S. title is on Raw. How do you think they're rolling with that right now? Has it been repaired, you know, in the last, you know, week or not week, month, month and a half, 2 months, where it's kind of worthy of this spot?
The only issue with that is his opponents. Granted, he had Sheamus and some other, you know, good challengers, but the roster's thin. So it's not like he's going to be able to, it's not like he has a murderer's row coming for him. Sort of thing. So I think that makes it a little bit harder. But you know, it's good. It's good. I mean, but not to like what I would love to see for it being, you know, like almost on an equal level as the Universal Championship, you know, just like the workers version of that. So it doesn't feel like it's there and it could be more, but you know, it's still good.
Yeah. No, I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think it's still a work in progress. You know, I think it's still, because it was just down in the dumps for so long. And it's not like making it into something really important is not going to happen overnight. And so I don't think they're completely there with it yet, but I think it's, you know, you've got enough people in the picture and within like its circle where, you know, it being a central focus is coming into picture a little bit. And I think people are starting to buy that, which is a good thing. Sean, back to you. Any other comments tonight, man?
Yeah, real quick, because I want, you know, Brad and Kyle, hopefully they're on. Any callers, I apologize. I just wanted to talk about one more quick thing, because you guys were bringing up the with Gunther and what you thought of him and what they've done with the Intercontinental title. And I love what they've done with it. But going back to, because we haven't talked about the match he had tonight with Kofi, and that's where I wanted to end on, I was really torn because, again, the match was, you know, really good. But, you know, Kofi was a WWE champion, and Brock beat him in 2 seconds. And Gunther took a while to beat him. And, again, Kofi, we know where Kofi's been. He's a former WWE champion. He's really, really good. I mean, he's been good for a long, long time. He's part of the New Day, one of the better tag teams we've seen in many, many years. But I just feel like New Day, like we've said over and over, has gotten very stale. Kofi just hasn't seemed as invested lately in the last year or so, even since they've been back in front of crowds. Like, you know, they're just doing their shtick, and it's just been kind of like, And then all of a sudden, Gunther's like, I'll face you. And then he has to take like 15 minutes, it felt like, to beat him. And I'm really torn on that. So I wanted to hear what you guys thought about it. Is it good? You know, Gunther got the win. Is that enough? What do you guys think about the match and kind of what they did with Kofi tonight? And that's all I had, guys. Like I said, Zach, you don't have to play my song, dude. It's okay. They've heard it. People have heard it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you know it. I apologize. Javier, man, it's always a pleasure getting to talk to you about wrestling, man. It's always fun. And thank you guys for taking my call, as always.
Hey, man. Yes, thanks, Sean. Thanks for making it. Hope you have a good weekend. And I did find it, and so I must play it.
Let's go to Tennessee. We're talking to Sean. Let's go to Tennessee. We're talking to Sean. Talking to Sean. Talking to Sean.
All right. Now I got my fix. I'll be singing that to myself. And Javier, you might be too for the next 4 days. So
yeah.
You're welcome.
Earworm.
Yes, I know. Very much so. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, I guess, Sean, I totally get where you're coming from. And I think where you're coming from makes sense, and you make good points. That didn't stand out to me tonight in this instance. I think, and I'm trying to think why here maybe it didn't. And a couple of things that just come to mind are just, like Kofi Kingston has had, his ups, his downs during his run in WWE, both with the New Day and as a singles act, where he's been kind of on top of the world and, he's been jobber to everyone and then everything in between too. And so with that said, I think right now, especially with where the New Day is as this essentially like, a legacy kind of thing at this point, that's cold. I still think that he's got some cachet in terms of just his reputation with the fans, almost just in a meta sense, where fans just want to see him have a good match, and he can have a good match with anybody. So, okay, let's just give him a chance to show what he can do, what Gunther can do. And so I thought it worked to that end, to just kind of let Gunther go out there and show what he can do in the ring for a longer period of time than just a squash. And I think because of the equity that Kingston has, it's not totally out of bounds that he may be able to, on one given night, bring it in a bigger way than he has at other times. So, Javier, what do you think, though? Did that bother you from a Gunther perspective?
I did notice it because the match felt more back and forth. I think that's more the issue I had with it. It felt more of a back and forth match as opposed to just big swings in offense. Whether either Gunther destroys Kofi and then Kofi finds an opening and then, takes over for a bit and then loses, which I think is pretty much the, similar to what they did, but with more back and forth in terms of their offense. I would have preferred more of a, that kind of storytelling. You could have still extended it, but then, too much of a back and forth, because right now where Kofi is really, it's more where Gunther is like on a higher level than a lot of other people on the roster, and I don't think that Kofi's on that level, so I would have much more preferred not as much as he completely overmatches him or he just doesn't take him seriously, but something like along the lines of Kofi like puts together like the best possible offense as he could, and it's obviously that he's reaching deep as opposed to it being kind of like a 50-50 match, which this is kind of what that felt like to me.
Yeah. No, that's fair. For sure. All right. Well, Sean, thank you. Appreciate the call. Good talking points. Okay, we'll go next to 443. 443, thanks for holding. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling us from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle Bond, right? And...
Hey, Kyle. Good to hear from you, man. It's been a bit. What'd you think of SmackDown?
Yeah, I thought it was good. A lot of what really stuck out to me was taking the axe coming back. It was like, awesome, that's cool. I like taking it, and I like this pair with her and Liv. Like, that seems, it looks cool. They had to be an attachment to phase damage control. But while I was watching that too, I was thinking to myself too, because I also made this comment too on Monday about what are you going to do with damage control, have it with EO and Dakota with those tag teams, and saying, well, now we have this another. So I just think I'll start right there with, I'm glad that Tegan is back. I think she's going to be the best part of SmackDown personally. Because SmackDown's been, I've been crapping on SmackDown's women's division for a while now because it's been garbage. So when Becky came back last week, I thought that she was going to stay on SmackDown. What are going to do with Becky? She was going to stay on Raw, just fine. But so first, what do you think about having Tegan on SmackDown and having it being a boost? Is it a boost for SmackDown even more, even though she may not go after the should be probably be teaming with Liv to face Damage Control for the Tag Team Championship. I think it's a good thing for both women at this point, and I think Tegan will thrive on SmackDown if hopefully she'll be a good person to be part of SmackDown's women's division. It will make it a little bit more better, her being back there.
Yeah, Javier, what do you think about Tegan Nox?
Well, first, I love their, I loved her gear. She with the, her pants were ripped at the knees, and she's not wearing braces or anything, which, considering the fact of her history that she's blown out both of her knees, kind of felt like it was significant that she, that that's how she came up. She came out.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, her all her issues. You mean?
Well, that yeah, but then to not have it like.
Well, I think it was for this showing. I would be surprised if she's not wrestling with, you know, some sort of protection when she's actually wrestling. But I kind of felt this was more like a if you're worried about the knees, don't be. You know, kind of to you know, because when she came out, I'm like, oh, it's Tegan Knox, and she's running to the ring. And I'm like, oh, please, 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 make it to the ring, because you know she's been, you know, I feel horribly bad for her, because it's been one after the other. So I think this was more of like a FU to like the fates kind of situation, which is why that stood out to me. I do think that she's a value add to the division. I'm not really expecting her to be high up, as they kind of already looks like she's going to be involved in the women's tag team thing. But if she can, you know, if she can grow from here and get to the top of the women's division, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I totally agree. I mean, I think that, like, you know, look, some of these folks that get brought back, whether it's in the men's division or the women's division, you know, you want to see them kind of go on, you know, these kind of journeys up the card, if that's where they go. And because it creates investment, you know, in them longer term. And you don't want to do that with everybody. You want to pick your spots. I think some people that make their debut, for them to be most effective, need to be presented like, hey, this is a top star right out of the gate, but not everybody. And I think, you know, I think Tegan Knox, like, she had like a short, really short run on the main roster, but people have seen her kind of before a bit. And I think this role suits her well right now. This is where she can provide depth to SmackDown. She can provide depth to the women's division. And it's also a fresh face in the tag team division on the women's side of things too. And that's, you know, that's like a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy of a division. It's like, if you want to have a tag division, you have to have some talent in it that people care about. I think Knox has, you know, something just innately likable about her. I think enough people know the injury history and all that she's overcome. So I think she's a good, Kyle, I think she's a good person for this slot. And then, as you said, Javier, if she catches on, if something starts to work, if she, you know, kind of goes on any kind of hot streak or starts having really good matches, and then you can kind of pivot and go from there. But I think this is a good starting point for her in terms of coming back. And then on the Liv Morgan side of things, I think it's really good for her, because she kind of was floundering there for a bit after winning the world title and not having any concrete direction to really take her character. And now this is going to give her something. It's not world title level, but it's still with Damage Control. It's still, you know, with Bailey, excuse me. And so I think that works for her too. So this, you know, this gets a thumbs up from me for what it is, which is just a, you know, middle of the card, you know, thing in the women's division. And I think, from a depth perspective, that's strong, and we'll see what happens. So yeah, I think I'm totally okay with this right now, Kyle.
Yeah, I think because before Liv was she disappeared after Extreme Rules, so just for a while she just disappeared in thin air. So I'm glad she's back and doing this tag team with Liv with Tegan. So it'll be cool. I was talking about Bailey and her, you know, bringing up Becky, stuff like that. I keep thinking back to Monday of how, you know, Becky was super over with the crowd and how I mentioned this on Monday before, how I felt like that Bianca Belair was not, compared to Bianca, Becky was super over, and he was completely talking about Becky and Bailey was being the next direction. And so I was thinking, and then I also was kind of thinking Becky was going to come out again tonight, just like she did last week, but as far as she does it. I was also thinking too, like, what brand is Becky going to be on currently, because when she came out of SmackDown, she's going to be on SmackDown, or she's on Raw, whatever side. So we see the direction of Becky and Bayley and the Nash feud, and how just also too just the star power that Becky has over Bianca Belair, who should be a top star, and compared, and also with Bayley being, and now in this situation with Becky and Bayley and the feud, we think that will go, and where does that leave Bianca? And I know this part is kind of more of a raw thing, but because to me it was like Bianca's very cold as champion, and Becky and Bayley are super high within the sphere right now, and also Rhea Ripley and Marvel. But anyway, in terms of the champions themselves, because also too, Ronda Rousey is very cold as champion as well, even because there's nothing for her to do as champion. So when you think about that perspective with Bayley and the Becky feud coming the terms in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing. There's not that much time. I mean, from a time perspective, there's about a little less than 2 months to the Royal Rumble. But when you factor in, like, the week of Christmas and the week of New Year, you're talking probably, like, 6 weeks of stuff.
Eight more.
What's that?
Eight more. I counted it for this podcast recently.
Okay.
Between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble was going to be 9 weeks, because that's one of the things I was actually looking, paying attention to today before the show started. I wanted to see what pacing they would give the storytelling when you had nine shows between now and the next big pay-per-view, what pace they would go. And then I realized this is Triple H. He just extended the length of the matches.
Right. Well, right. And I think that's important to look at, though, because, clearly I think they're working towards bringing Becky back to SmackDown at some point. Like, and I think it's going to be sooner than later. And my guess is it's going to be with something to do with Ronda Rousey. So whether that's her winning the Royal Rumble or, winning Elimination Chamber, I mean, they're going to go to Ronda Rousey versus Becky at WrestleMania. And so, that will free up, Bianca on Raw to go back to being kind of like the top star in that division on that show. And so I think you will have kind of Becky and Bayley, or maybe like you do on Raw, Becky, Bayley, and Bianca in some sort of feud. But like, you can build to like a couple different TV matches between the three of those women to kind of fill that gap until you get to the Royal Rumble. But as far as SmackDown goes, though, Javier, there is like a big gap at the top of that women's division. You have Ronda Rousey, and then she's pretty much beating everybody else. They're telling a story with Raquel Rodriguez right now, so I think that's a match that's going to happen. But I don't see Raquel Rodriguez like at a Bianca level or a Rhea Ripley level or Bayley level at this point. So she's still more of a filler from an opponent perspective for Ronda Rousey, like Shotzi was, than she was like an actual viable contender for the championship. SmackDown needs a big star to come over, I think, and I think we have to wait for the Royal Rumble for that to happen.
Yeah, Raquel Rodriguez is, I've already heard it reported, but I came to it on my own that she's going to be the opponent for Rousey at Royal Rumble. And the way that they're pacing this is I think it's for next week is Shayna and Shotzi. I think it's next week. So yeah. First is going to be Shayna and Shotzi. Shayna's going to hurt Shotzi. Then Raquel's going to have to get through Shayna, and then to eventually work her way up to Ronda, and then this is what's going to fill up the next 9 weeks until you get Raquel and Rousey at Royal Rumble. As far as where Raquel is on the roster, she to me is where Rhea Ripley was when she first went to the main roster, where it did not feel like she was ready for anything that she was given. I don't think that Raquel Rodriguez is there yet. I don't know what they would do, though, because part of it is like the smiling and posing, not something that does it for me.
I mean, what do you make of like the Becky Bayley situation? You have Bayley kind of on SmackDown tonight, and I mean, is it can they hold on that long enough to where, you know, the women's division just doesn't get so low on SmackDown where you don't have much interest anymore before Becky kind of comes in and jolts it with some electricity?
Well, I think that the your two big segments for women on SmackDown are going to be the what's going on with Rousey, Baszler, Shotzi, and Raquel Rodriguez. So that's going to be your A story. Your B story is just going to be Liv Morgan and Knox versus Io Shirai and Io Sky and Dakota Kai. Those are going to be your A, your B, and you're going to be getting these vignettes from Lacey Evans. So that's like your C. And, you know, it's a two-hour show, so I think that's pretty much what they've got, you know, penciled for that. And then while on Raw, you're going to have, you know, mainly the Bailey Becky things to be resolved there, while I would assume maybe Ripley and Bianca. I don't know what they're going to exactly do on that side.
Yeah, but I mean, you kind of said it. Like, I mean, you look at that, like what's on the table for SmackDown, the women's division side, where you go, okay, you know, the A topic is going to be like Ronda, Shayna, Shotzi, Raquel, and then B topic, you know, Tegan Knox, Liv Morgan. And then C topic, whatever's going on with Lacey Evans. Then you move over to Raw, though, and it's, okay, you're going to get Bayley and Becky stuff. You've got Bianca there, and you've got Rhea Ripley there. So, I mean, it's like
and Alexa,
heavy, heavy star power on Raw compared to SmackDown right now. Sorry, were you saying something, Javier?
No, that was Kyle.
Oh, okay. Kyle, go ahead.
And also Alexa, too. They teased something with Alexa on Monday, too, about her going after Bianca. So she's also big. She's also a name that's credible, too. So,
Yeah, good point. What else, Kyle?
I'm just glad that she's back, so we'll see what happens with her, with Tegan, so we'll see what happens there. But for the Bloodline stuff, I'm probably in the minority of this. I could care less about anything that's happening with the Bloodline, really, because it's a distraction to me when it comes to Sami Zayn, where WWE to me saying, look at what Sami Zayn's doing. Don't care about Roman Reigns being champion for as long as he is and never on television, doesn't have any credible opponents. Focus on what Sami Zayn's doing, because it's all about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens facing the Usos at WrestleMania, and we don't know what to do with Roman Reigns. We'll just worry about it when it happens. That seems lazy to me, and I don't like that. I understand that, you know, people like what Sami Zayn is doing, and they're really interested and invested in and waiting to the end game to having Owens and Sami come together and them facing each other, facing the Usos at WrestleMania, and that's fine. But I just think that I'm already soured on this. I can because I don't really fully care, because I'm also looking at. I'm also watching Solo Sokoa as well. I'm thinking to myself, what has he been doing? He's just been standing there like a bodyguard for the longest time since he came up to SmackDown. And I'm like, okay, well, it's all well good for him to be like some type of a bodyguard. But at some point, I'd like to see him more in the ring, have see what he's capable of besides having his arm crossed, looking all mean and being like the heavy for the Bloodline. Like, at some point, I want to see him in the rain, and also too with Roman. I know that's what everyone likes him being in this him being champion for as long as he has been. But at some point, it is just getting old. It's getting tiring. There's not really anyone for him to face as well. So moving forward, I know people like Sami's name, but where is this really going to end with the rest of the Bloodline? With Roman Reigns and I guess Solo Sikoa, how does he fit in all of this too? So
yeah, well, Javier, let's take it this time. And so thanks for bringing it up, Kyle, to talk about the Bloodline. We haven't got to like their chunk of the show yet. You know, you had Sami Zayn start the show. He got a good, a positive reaction, and pretty much, you know, what they did in the ring from a promo perspective was just, you know, essentially celebrating what happened at War Games, and Sammy tried to give credit to Jimmy and Jay, and Jimmy cut Sammy off and said, "Hey, we're not doing that." And this is about Sami Zayn, and he was, you know, MVP, et cetera, et cetera. And then they went into, you know, the Sheamus match from there. So I thought that was a strong way to start the show coming out of War Games with Sami Zayn and no Roman. Like, I'm glad they kind of like left it at least at the beginning here, and we'll talk about the backstage thing in a second. But just like no bumps in the road, like that they're on the same page, they're celebrating the win, they're gonna help each other, they're gonna help Sammy get the victory over Sheamus, which they did, and you know they're on the same side. And I think this was, if you like, this wasn't like one of the more dramatic Bloodline segments. I kind of like relate it to, you know, a filler episode of a, you know, drama series on TV where you're not going to get, you know, all action packed stuff, but you're going to get kind of like a double down on the story already told. This was that. I thought it was short, sweet, to the point, and kind of just solidified everybody's position and how the audience is supposed to feel about them. So talk about the opening segment first, and then we'll get into the backstage thing in a second.
Yeah, it serves to establish the new status quo.
Right.
So that when you, because, you know, the status quo changed at Survivor Series with the acceptance of Sammy into the group. You can't just go to the next step. You need to establish, establish your new status quo, get people like used to it before you upend it again. And that's kind of what it felt like. They may or may not have already teased something in the second segment when Jimmy says, "Are you really cool with this?" And another thing, there are two big things. Number one, and this might be oversight from them or might be planned, is the fact that, this wasn't about the blood, it was about Sammy. But it's been so far established that everything's about Roman Reigns at the end of the day. So the fact that they were talking about Sammy and not Roman Reigns, that might be playing into Sami Zayn, particularly when Jimmy says, tells Jay, are you sure you're good with this? And Jay just says, are you sure that you're good with him lying to you? And he says, I asked Roman, and he told me, you know, I looked him in his eye and, you know, and whatever. But you don't really... Maybe the actual conversation between Roman and Jay was like, yeah, I don't trust him. And then now Jay's just pretending to go along with Sammy because his acting was a little bit off. He didn't really seem like still really fully in love with him. But then like all of a sudden he's like, yeah, okay, fine, I'm with you. So I keep my eye on that it might be that there's already something afoot there. But at least as for what we're supposed to believe right now is this is the new, you know, he's been accepted as part of the family. It's very soap opera-ish. So, you know, I can understand some people not really being as much into it. If all you want to see is, you know, straight up just fighting and defending belts, I can understand that. But, it is sports entertainment.
That's what I was saying. Reminded me of too as well.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of a soap opera.
And if you're not into that, if that's not what, because, you know, like growing up, everybody would tell me, oh, you know, wrestling is just, you know, soap operas for boys. it's what I was told growing up. And you know,
not in wrestling too much, but whatever.
Well, I get it. But the particular, like, old school WWE was kind of like that with, you know, some of the storylines that they did. But yeah, I mean, I could have said it not appealing to everybody, especially if you're like really into seeing the title being defended and you have Roman Reigns not being around. I could understand why it would not be appealing to some people.
Yeah. Did you get a sense of, you know, especially with the backstaging? Because I was reading that a couple different ways. I read it like you, which is like, is this more just additional seeds of doubt in things that we've already seen? Is Jay kind of just going through the motions on liking Sammy because he knows that's what Roman wants. It crossed my mind that like, hey, did Roman and Jay kind of strike up a plan to like, you know, lull Sammy into a false sense of security with him so that, you know, they can then turn on him. I don't know how much I like that, but it crossed my mind. And then it also crossed my mind that it's just a segment, you know, to that, you know, tripled down on the story of the night, which is just that, hey, this is the new status quo. Like, there is no kind of butting heads in the bloodline right now between Sammy and Jay. And this was another segment to just tell that truth out there again. And so that crossed my mind too. And so I, you know, like you said, if you don't want to kind of play that game of like trying to figure out where they're going or what they're doing, then I think, yeah, maybe you didn't like the stuff with the bloodline tonight, but I think overall it served the story pretty well. As far as the match went, good match, I thought, to open the show tonight, and a host of good matches, Sami Zayn versus Sheamus. You know, in the short term, does that have legs still? You know, like Bloodline versus Brawling Brutes. I mean, we've seen a lot of different iterations of it. To me, you know, you still have Roman against Sheamus. You can play that card at some point. And so I think this may have been a night just to serve that ultimately in the end. But what did you think of the match to open the show and you know, a continuation of Bloodline versus Brawling Brutes?
Well, I'm thinking that it's this particular – what surprised me was Sheamus when he attacked and then saying, oh, we're, you know, it's going to be us. You know, it's going to be we'll, me and Matt and Drew are going to deal with you, you know, next if you make it out of whatever they're doing on Monday, which makes me think that it looks like they're going to be setting up, at least for the time being, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre going for the tag team titles, probably for Royal Rumble. That would be my guess on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Kevin Owens would likely be the one
right.
Dealing with another direction they could end up going because again, got 8 more weeks now of SmackDown. So it could also, you know, might be a rare defense that Roman does on TV against Sheamus.
Yeah.
That might be a possibility if they want to do like, you know, try to pop a rating on a SmackDown between now and then, you know, probably coming off of right after the holidays, you know, probably their first big show after the holidays.
I kind of like that when you think about like collectively what they have going on. I mean, you're going to build to like, I think some kind of Seth Rollins versus Austin Theory thing. So that'll kind of anchor, you know, a big night on Raw during this break between pay-per-views. You're going to have Gunther versus Ricochet. They'll be able to build that up. You're going to have something with Jimmy and Jay. So that'll take up a week. And then, yeah, if Roman comes back and defends the title against Sheamus, like obviously that'll be a big deal. And so like, I like that they're planting the seeds for that kind of stuff on TV ahead of time. And we'll see how much they've actually pay off. But I think it's a good sign that they're giving this stuff lead time so that it can kind of build interest week to week. I think it's a good sign if they decide to pull it off. And with 8 weeks to go, they got to have something. I mean, that's a long time.
Oh, and about Solo Sikoa, he's basically doing the role of basically Hook in AEW, where he's just standing there looking menacing, looking cool. And eventually people are going to be going, hey, you know, we want to see Solo do something. We want to see Solo do something. And that way, for the time that he finally gets really involved, everybody would be like, oh, you know, holy bleep, you know, here comes Solo. Because him just standing there looking stoic, looking inscrutable, just, you know, you're like waiting for him just to go off on somebody. And that does end up adding more and more, you know, to it. And just like Kyle's like, you know, I want to see Solo do something. You're going to be getting more and more people saying, hey, I want to do something. So that when he finally does something, no matter what it is, you're going to, you know, awesome. I can't wait to see what he's going to do, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, Kyle, I would say that I think that's your reaction is kind of what they're going for, except less frustrated. they want you to feel that way. And so it's kind of backfiring if they were to ask you, and that's okay. But I do think,
yeah,
Javier, you're right. They're trying to cultivate an environment of, oh, man, we can't wait for this guy to show something. And, you know, they've planted seeds for Solo Sikoa and Drew McIntyre. I think that's going to be a match that we get down the road.
If you look at what they've planted, so you're going to have now apparently McIntyre and Sheamus go after the titles. And who's going to cost him the title? Who's going to cost him the titles against the Usos? It's going to be Solo. Yeah. And then this is going to be McIntyre's finally set up with Solo after having him cost two titles already. And then that's your match for SummerSlam. Or, you know, maybe even more likely heading down into WrestleMania, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right. It makes sense. So, yeah, I think stay tuned, Kyle, stay tuned. But back to you for any other comments on tonight's show.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the fact that for me it's the fact that it's his Reigns holding both championships. If he didn't hold both championships, I wouldn't be this angry about it. That's my only problem with it, is that he doesn't have to be both the Universal and WWE champion at the same time. I always had a problem with that. And with Solo itself, I am ready for him to wrestle at some point, because it's like I'm expecting him to do something, but I'm okay with waiting. I'm not really that upset about it. I'm okay with waiting, but I want to talk about Bray Wyatt and this entire Uncle Howdy thing to him and his personality that he's doing and his feud he's had with LA Knight. I just don't really know how it's like, is he going to come, clearly he's going to come back with a mask and again with another personality. And it's just, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. What he's been saying has been very repetitive and not been really, and there's some new things with him with this new feud with LA Knight, but it's still like, what is the goal? What are you trying to say? He's trying to not be evil, trying to be a good guy, but he's going back to his evil side. But it's like, okay, well, I don't know if this feud with LA Knight is going to work, because it's just LA Knight is so freshly new to SmackDown. Do you really want to beat him this early against someone Bray Wyatt? But I guess you kind of have to, because people care about Bray Wyatt more than do LA Knight compared to two. So what do you think where this feud is going to head into? What do you think what's going to lead to both guys at the end of this feud, whenever they end this feud, whenever it'll end?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up, because this is on my list of things to talk to you about, Javier, because I think, yeah, we're a handful of months into Bray Wyatt here. I think we have heard a lot of the same types of things, and I think that's always been an issue with Bray's characters, is that a lot of words, a lot of talking, but not a lot of action, and not a lot of direction, and not a lot of ways that you can kind of invest in what he's doing, because you're not really sure what he's getting at. That can be a positive, you know, because I think when you do stuff like the White Rabbit and people are trying to figure out what's what, that can work in a vacuum, but you also have to know when to pull the plug on it and when to just, okay, now you're in pro wrestler mode, like have a pro wrestling feud. And so I think he's still trying to find that balance. Kyle, to answer your question, I mean, this clearly ends with Bray Wyatt just dusting LA Knight. I'm not considering this like a feud of any kind outside of what it is, which I think is going to end up being just like some kind of squash match that they'll try to promote as, hey, Bray Wyatt's first match on TV since coming back or whatnot. Like, I think that's what we're looking at here. But the bigger question, though, Javier, is just like the status of the character on the show. And so what did you make of the promo tonight, and where do you stand on him since he's come back? And is he in a good spot right now?
Well, I strongly doubt that it's going to be another personality. I am of the camp that this is another person who is coming from Bray's past that he has wronged and is manipulating stuff behind the scenes to make us think that Bray Wyatt is the one who's doing these attacks.
Same here, by the way. Yeah.
So my money, I mean, if you want me to, my money is Bo Dallas, who is, what's his real name?
His
brother. In real life. So, in real life. So I'm thinking that because the idea is that he's already talked about making amends, and that this, it feels like it's people that he's wronged in his life who are going to be coming after him. I think that is the goal. Now, what did he say in his promo? What I find a little bit weird is this felt more antagonistic towards the audience because he was saying that the audience wants the Fiend, and this was part of last week's promo, the audience wants the Fiend. That's not who I am anymore. They want me to be this because, you know, everybody, you know, has like, you know, there's Predator and Prey, and people want me to be the Predator. People want me to be evil. I don't want this. I see that you want me to do this, but this is not me anymore. So I think the biggest issue with the storyline that could like really make things go awry is because the crowd the WWE fans are a bloodthirsty bunch. They want to see the Fiend kill people. But that's not what Bray Wyatt is. This is a different entity that's doing it that's eventually going to come for Bray Wyatt. At that point, maybe Bray Wyatt is going to have to tap into something else and like maybe bring back like a Fiend-like character. But the Uncle Howdy character who's been, you know, showing up and popping up, you know, from time to time, that's not Bray Wyatt. I really don't think that's Bray Wyatt. It could ultimately be one of his other personalities, except one that he doesn't control. But I think that's more of a cop-out. I do think this is going to be somebody else, a la, like, you know, Undertaker's brother Kane showing up, that sort of relationship.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I don't know, it begs the question, though, like, so in that environment, when that's the story going on, I think, you know, this Bray Wyatt character can work. But the question is, it's barely even a question. It's more just thoughts, and you can respond to them, is I just don't know, how do you take that Bray Wyatt character and put him against other people that aren't in this, like, Bray Wyatt ecosystem of stories, you know? Like, it gets really muddy.
I think that's
not muddy, but just not
too.
As interesting when it's somebody like LA Knight, or if you were going to do, like, a Drew McIntyre thing or Roman Reigns thing or like Karrion Kross even, you know, like I think it's so hard for him, for that character to live in like the normal WWE world that it's like, on one hand, it's good that he's got this separate story going on, but you can't do those forever. And the bottom line is if it's Bo Dallas, like, you know, you're going to have, it's like Bray Wyatt versus Bo Dallas. Like, you know, that doesn't scream like marquee to me either. So, I mean, just, you know, what do you think about that, Javier?
Well,
it's
not going to be Bray Wyatt
on Bray.
That's the thing, is that Bray Wyatt versus Bo Dallas is going to be Bray Wyatt or the Fiend versus Uncle Howdy, which is going to be another character that's going to be created for this, you know, for this kind of thing. So, I mean, if they do it, if that's the direction that they're going, obviously we're not now speculating for something that we don't have any proof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, so you could get to that kind of, you know, you could build up, you know, a different scenario based on, and I'm just throwing Bo Dallas there. There are a lot of spooky characters out there. Eric Young is now available after being murdered on Impact. That's a real sentence. This really happened. By the way, that was great too. But that's over an Impact. So you have him. I think Vinny Marsaglia is out there too. He's another spooky character. I don't know if he signed to anybody yet. And I know his name had been circling around WWE corners. So you do have other spooky people out there that can play the role of, you know, culty kind of thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Bo Dallas, like, you know, or he could be like their leader. A lot of ways you go on this, you know, who spent hours speculating on the Bray Wyatt thing. But ultimately, like in the case of LA Knight, LA Knight is thinking that it's Bray Wyatt. I mean, it just works because he thinks that Bray Wyatt is just doing some spooky stuff based on the stuff that he had done before, and he thinks Bray Wyatt is the one behind it when in reality is somebody else. And then they'll just have a match. Bray Wyatt's not going to have superpowers. He's going to be wrestling as Bray Wyatt. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a squash. And then just you have this match based on – 1 second.
Oh.
Sorry, I had to cough.
Oh, okay. I was like, you're on mute. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to go. So where was I? This is just a case of LA Knight being mistaken. You could still do it as long. the what always screwed the Bray Wyatt storyline, particularly with The Fiend, is once they went full-blown supernatural, when they set him on fire and he didn't die. You know, when they started doing stuff that is full-blown supernatural. I mean, you could do stuff that you have to think, well, how the hell did they do that? But, I mean, because obviously WWE's enhanced reality. You don't take the punches and the hits that people do and survive, you know? So it already is enhanced reality. So if someone knows magic tricks, you know, it's enhanced to the point where like this possibly couldn't have happened. You could still play with that, but you know, when they go too and at that point when he wrestles a regular person, oh, this is just someone screwing with somebody, because you always have that level of, I forgot the term, but you could set aside your suspension of disbelief. You know what I mean? So you, in wrestling goes to a certain point. But you know, I'm getting long winded. So go ahead.
It's something to watch. Cause I think like, you know, if you can find the sweet spot with Bray, there's obviously something major there. But I also just kind of think that if you go too deep on like that one story, right, and like it's got layers upon layers upon layers, you know, you may just along the way just turn people off and go, well, like, okay, I was cool going like three layers deep, but I'm not cool going four layers deep on this, or I was cool going five layers but not six, you know, they'll have to strike a balance there. But I think, you know, for now, I'm still interested and want to see it play out, Cam.
I do think he's going to have his rogues gallery. So I think that helps a lot, whereas he's going to be dealing with people of his past, which are going to be wrestlers going to be coming up one by one. And I think that's good, because you could keep that self-contained for the most part. You could bring in some other people, like Alexa Bliss is going to get involved.
Yep.
Braun Strowman is very likely going to get involved at some point because of his connections Eric Rowan's another one that is out there that can show up. But you know, so you have other people. Liv Morgan can get involved because I believe she's with Bo Dallas, I believe.
Yes.
So she, you know, she's part of the family, so she likely could at some point get involved. I do think they're telling a long-term storyline like the one that The Fiend evolved into, because the Fiend storyline was a long story of Bray Wyatt getting revenge on the people who wronged him in the past. That was a long-term storyline. I think this is going to be what we're going to be embarking on, is a storyline that's going to take over a year of Bray Wyatt dealing with the people that he wronged. Some of them could be from, you know, new characters, quote unquote, created, like a Sister Abigail character. I'm looking at the different characters from the Firefly Funhouse, because remember when they first introduced him, you did see a person dressed as Husky Harris, a person dressed as Sister Abigail, a person dressed as all the different characters. I believe, you know, so it might be that someone is using the ideas that he came up with The Fiend to get back at him now. And you have a Ross, you know, you know, Seth Rollins can try to come back at him at some point for what he did to him, you know, that sort of stuff. You have different people, you know, because right now this is not supernatural. Right now this is just, you know, a dude with like, you know, mental issues trying to, you know, struggling through and somebody else might be screwing with him. That's still within the realm of, you know, plausible deniability.
Yeah, no, that's well said. Yeah, I think we need to make you like resident Torch Bray Wyatt.
I've been the Bray Wyatt whisperer for a while now.
Bray Wyatt whisperer, Javier. Yeah.
I mean that's the thing, because a lot of people say that.
Do you think that that he has like a big time WrestleMania match this year within that story? Like, can they get somewhere quick enough to get him on the card in a major way on that show?
I don't know what the pace. He'll be on the card for sure. What he'll be doing, I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing something pedestrian like wrestling LA Knight. I mean, it's still far away, so I'm just using that as an example. I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But likely we're going to see like a moment in that show where something's going to happen there that's going to be reveal a lot of stuff behind the scenes. This might be where we actually do see the introduction of whoever's screwing with him. a moment a la the Undertaker rising to the heaven after he gets killed by Yokozuna and all the heels of the WWE. Something along those lines, I think, is going to end up happening at WrestleMania, if not at Royal Rumble, so that you can set a return of Bray Wyatt as a Fiend-esque character or something like that, you know, making his triumphant return at WrestleMania. So something along those lines. I mean, you know, granted, this is like very sketchy and like, you know, all over the place in terms of like storyline development, but I think that's kind of, you know, this is going to be a long planned out storyline, I think.
Well, how dare you, Javier, not come to this show with, you know, 6 months of detailed Bray Wyatt stories written out. That's shame on you.
Well, I try not to actually, like, fantasy book, because I'm looking at all the possibilities story-wise that they can go, and then just choosing the most interesting ones or the more, you know, the more interesting ones and stuff like that. And there's going to be stuff I miss, and then obviously the further down you go, down the road you go, the more things get crazy because of, you know, just stuff.
No, very good. Kyle, okay, there's a ton there for you to kind of either comment on or, you know, give us a final point.
Yeah, involving the mask interview is probably going to be underrated. I still think it's Bray Wyatt himself. It sounds like him. It kind of looks like him. I kind of looked at it kind of hard a little bit as well. Try to see. I think it's Bray Wyatt himself. I don't think it's any.
He could still be playing the person behind the mask, because, you know, because they don't have to actually show you who he is until he takes the mask off.
Yeah, so
it's still him acting, obviously, but it's not going to be, when the mask comes off, it's going to be somebody else behind the mask.
Oh yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, he can't like clone himself, like, so yeah, I get that. So I was just thinking too that as well that it would be like. Yeah, I think it's just the way it's seen what they do with him. But I think just overall for SmackDown itself as a show, in terms of who, it's still, I think, still lacking like credible names for, and still needs something more. It was a good show tonight, but I still think I was still missing something. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's still even one or two more star power on the roster, involving having, I don't know, if Cody Rhodes magically comes back at Royal Rumble, which people are assuming is going to happen. Can you see him transition himself, go over to SmackDown and not stay on Raw? Is that a possibility? And I'll leave with that, but thanks for a call. That's all I really had.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you making it. Yeah, Javier, we talked a little bit about the kind of the depth of the women's division on SmackDown and the kind of the, you know, big drop off in terms of star power when you compare it to Raw. But generally speaking though, I mean, like tonight was an FS1 show. So I think we have to factor that in, that they're, you know, they're not really going to load this thing up. Just given the fact that it's not on Fox and there's a lot of competition. So I think that's part of it. You also had tonight, like, two matches out of, you know, the 2 hour show that took up a good chunk of time. Like, you had the, you know, the tournament final got a lot of the back half of that second hour, and the front half of the first hour was heavy on Bloodline, Sami Zayn versus Sheamus. So, you know, when you, you know, account for that time, there's not a lot of stuff to sprinkle in. But, you know, you have Ronda that wasn't on the show tonight. Drew wasn't on the show tonight. So I think there's still good star power, but Javier, what do you make of the roster collectively after seeing it tonight, albeit a little bit bare bones because of the channel they were on?
Yeah, Kevin Owens. I think you're okay. Like, at the top, it's just lacking depth. It's lacking, you know, which is where I think, you know, the groups like Legado right now, Hit Row, are beginning to fill out there. So. My thing is just bring more people. Maybe, you know, bring in Eric Young to the division. Bring in bring in just more bodies at this point, and maybe start like reclaiming some of the people you do have, like the Shanky, and maybe, you know, figure out something to do with them if they're still on payroll. Figure something out. Yeah, so I mean, I think it's more of a depth issue than it is a, you know, because like Shinsuke would be good if, you know, they hadn't like murdered Shinsuke throughout, you know, the last couple of years, you know what I mean? So Shinsuke would be somebody that you could, you know, elevate a little bit. I think that's more the problem with SmackDown than with the SmackDown depth chart.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Javier. You know, I'm going through the show here and my notes, and we've covered most of it. I think we've covered all of it from a segment perspective and an angle perspective and a match perspective. Do you have anything in your notes that you want to get to before we kind of call it a day here?
Give me a sec. You could insert the Jeopardy music.
Yes. Sing it, but you know, I don't really want to. So.
Did you catch Emma referring to Riddick Moss as Riddick?
As who?
Madcap Moss as Riddick.
Oh no, I did not catch that.
Because I think she called him Riddick.
So
hopefully that is good things coming in the future for him. I like Shayna. I was worried that when Shotzi came to save Emma from getting her arm broken by Shayna, I was like, I do not want to see Shotzi now beat up Shayna. And no, Shayna got the better of Shotzi, and then it took Raquel. And I like the fact that then is when she backed off. She said, "Look, there were three of them. You know, it took three people." And I thought that because I'm hoping that they reclaim Shayna because there's a lot you could do with her, and that was a good step for me.
I had the same thought, to be honest. I when seeing Shotzi run down, I was like, oh man, like that, like don't do that, you know? Because you know Shayna had a pretty good showing in that match and was put over strong, and the Shotzi Ronda thing, we've been there and done that, so we know how that ends, and it wasn't good. So I was like, yeah, I want to, you know, give Shayna something here. And I think they did. I mean, can they get to Ronda versus Shayna before WrestleMania?
I mean, probably not.
Like in a reasonable way. Obviously they could always do whatever they want, but in a reasonable way where you can get the most out of it. Cause I just wonder like that you got them paired up now, and Shayna has seemed more relevant. And I think they have some good chemistry with one another when they're together on screen. And so, you know, on one hand I'm like, well, yeah, keep them together. But on the other hand, it's like, I think Ronda's contract is up at the end of WrestleMania. So it's like, it's not like they have that much, you know, time unless they're going to resign her, to do more stuff. So, you know, I like Shayna in this role. And I think you're right. Like with Ronda, you kind of see some of that attitude come out of her. You see that swagger come out of her, and you see the Shayna Baszler that carried NXT for so long. If they could repair her, she would be, you know, instantly add the depth and star power to the women's division that SmackDown needs.
If she can get, you hit the nail on the head with that one. If we could get NXT Shayna back, and I don't think it'll ever be 100% NXT Shayna back because she is a mat wrestler, and there is a difference between the NXT wrestling fan, particularly in that era, and the WWE wrestling fan. So, you know, I don't know if that, because of the type of matches she has, is necessarily going to translate one-to-one, the character. But if you could reclaim her to NXT Shayna, I would, and I know this is probably not better, I'm not saying this is better for business, I'm just telling you my own personal taste. I would be more excited for Ronda and Shayna at WrestleMania than Ronda and Becky.
Really?
For my personal taste. If we could get the actual Shayna, the MMA Shayna, you know, the MMA, you know, killer Shayna that she was in NXT, personally.
Sure,
me.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I obviously it's not going to sell like Becky, but it's a match I'd be more happy to watch than that. So if they could get to that, like, let's say she signs for another year. Let's say we do get, the rematch of, well, whatever the rematch is, I think it was a three-way. They never had a one-on-one, right?
Right.
Becky and
right.
Ronda. Yeah. So, when Becky and Ronda have their match, and then, Becky wins the championship, then maybe you have Ronda and Shayna go after the tag team titles. They win it. They run into SummerSlam, and then right before SummerSlam, they break up and they have a match against each other.
Yeah, that'd work.
You know, something along that line. If you're going to keep Ronda around and not going to have her just be the champion until then, so
right.
So yeah, that's my that's pretty much what I you know, if they're going to if that's in the cards.
Awesome, Javier. Very good.
One thing we didn't talk about.
I don't know.
Yes, one thing that we missed. Speaking of spooky talk, Mysterio is in danger now. Apparently, TikTok.
Oh my goodness! How could I forget? How could I forget Karrion Kross? Yes. Oh man. I mean, gosh. I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that? That feud. I mean, on paper, it's like okay, it's fine, but. It just feels like we're just going to keep seeing the same thing over and over with Karrion Kross. And I don't know. I don't know how much it has left in terms of legs, you know. Ray is a good person for him to wrestle in some ways because he's a really sympathetic babyface. He can sell wonderfully, especially for somebody like Kross, who's going to look, you know, significantly bigger than him. But ultimately, it's like, okay, you know, like I still don't know where he goes, even if he beats Ray. You know, it's all very one note, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like Kross, but it's not working. You know, yeah. I've liked Kross for you know, some Impact, but yeah, it's just not translating to the WWE style. So, you know,
I mean. I mean, when you think about, like, too, like, what Ray has going on with Dominic and like, presumably they're gonna build to something there, I would imagine. You know, I don't know that, like, you want Ray losing right now, really, unless, like, Dominic's going to be the one to cost them the match. But, like, at the same time, you know, Karrion Kross needs wins. I mean, it's, like, the one thing his gimmick really needs is to stay – you know, stay on the winning side of things. As soon as he starts losing, like it's kind of all over. I'm questioning putting the two together, you know, at all at this point.
I mean, what broke it for me during the video, during the skit, was when he said, I taught these two people, you know, the Tower of the Night, which was Drew McIntyre, the Fool, which was representing Madcap Moss. He goes, I taught them both a lesson. Drew learned his lesson. I'm like, you lost your last match against him, dude.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, granted, you lost it by the other guy climbing out of the top, of the cage, so it wasn't like he beat you, and so physically you did get it over, did go over, but that's not what people are going to remember.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, you know.
Big Javier's coughing. Okay, you're back.
Yes, I was. So you lost to the dude. I mean, you know, and then it's not like Moss was a, you know, a world beater that you beat. So, you know, it's just weird. I don't know where they're trying to slot him in. If he's being slotted like at a lower level, or because if he's being slotted at a lower level, like his skits are like way over the top. You know, if it's a higher level, it's like, I don't really necessarily buy it at this point. I think the problem with Karrion Kross is the fact that, like, when he's at his best, he's almost like an R-rated character, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when he is like, do you ever watch the Judge Dredd movies?
Yes.
Okay, and both of them you saw, the Stallone one and the Carl Urban one, the one that's rated R?
Oh gosh, I think I've seen the Stallone one.
Well, if the Carl Urban one is rated R, it was a bloody massacre of a movie. And the thing is that he works on that level, but he doesn't work on a Stallone level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, you know, you're only kind of like, there's no blood and there's no real threat of violence. Because on Impact, like, there was a threat that he might kill you, and in Impact, people do die. You know, so there's a threat that he might kill you. He felt like a threat. his threats do not translate to what we know of the WWE, and I think that, to me, that's like just pretty much the biggest issue with that character.
And I say too, like, he's a bit out of place as far as, like I said, the character from a, you know, from the entrance is just, you know, just, it's a huge entrance and it takes a lot of time and it's just produced, and, you know, it's trying really hard to present him as a big star. And I think to some extent it does, but it also, it kind of puts him in a place where that he's not ready for. Like, somebody that gets that type of presentation and that type of focus usually is at the top of your card, and except that he's not, and he's not playing ball with Roman Reigns, and Drew McIntyre is the highest that he's got. And now he's down to like kind of Rey Mysterio level. And so, you know, it's almost like the character isn't serving him for where he is on the card. It's like, it almost puts him in a spot that he's just not ready for. And then you add into that the fact that it's really hard to take that character seriously if he's not winning. That's just another curveball to have to kind of swing on a week-to-week basis. Tough.
And it's basically story style. He's in the wrong genre. He's playing a supervillain, and WWE is mostly not really known for, you know, well, I mean, right, the WWE, current WWE, supervillains don't work, you know, like the over-the-top, you know, mustache twirling, I'm going to kill you, man. You know, it doesn't work. I mean, I like Impact for that reason, because Impact is that kind of environment. You have demons and devils and stuff and human sacrifices and stuff. It's crazy. You know, but I like that. You know, it works for me. He's that, but in the WWE, and you can't do that. You know, it's like you either have to embrace it or just forget about it. You know, just move on to something else. I that's one of the biggest problems with AEW is that their characters either, you know, because they come in the indies and they have some of the stuff that they leave behind, and not when they're like kind of 50-50 of not really like embracing it, but we're still going to keep a little bit of it. You're just turning off more people, and you're not giving the people who like the character what they want. So, you know, it doesn't fit. You're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, Javier, we'll put a bow on it there. We'll wrap up. Thanks for everybody who called in, and thanks everybody for listening. Once again, Wade will be on the VIP side of things later tonight or in your VIP feeds in the morning on the Wade Keller Hotline running down the show. Javier, always a pleasure, man, to talk wrestling with you. You do a lot of great things at the Torch. Take a minute to talk about those, and you already – tease the New Japan Pride podcast returning for Wrestle Kingdom, but talk a little bit about that again too.
Yeah, I've this has actually been the longest I've been not doing, because the G1 really wore me out, and I'm kind of watching New Japan like I normally do before I was doing the podcast, because I would always take like the after the G1 climax, I'd be like, okay, I'm not watching anymore until we get to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't care about the stupid tag team tournament, But yeah, so I also do the primers for the PLEs and pay-per-views for AEW and WWE. And I'll usually, you know, a little roundtable thing after a lot of the calls when I'm available. And the times that Zach does not actually screw up the actual call-in board. Like last time. Did that happen last time?
It did, but last time wasn't my – I swear it wasn't my fault, Javier. It wasn't my fault.
It's been a while, but I couldn't give you any, you know, bleep about it. But yeah, so and I do a little roundtable and occasional contribute here and there. So that's pretty much me.
And you forgot your new title, resident Torch Bray Wyatt analyst.
Long-winded. Bray
Wyatt. Well, Wade's never going to live that down. He's never going to live
that down. No, I mean, I'll let it slide after a bit, because he felt, because it was meant to be he was making a joke, and it came out, I think he felt like it came out a lot stiffer than what he meant, so he kind of felt bad. I know he felt bad, but I'm going to milk it a little bit, so sorry, Wade.
Yeah.
I'm going to milk it a little
bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with milking it a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Maybe one more week.
But thanks, Javier. I very much appreciate it. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Haydorn. You can check out my work at pwtorch.com. You can also check us out on YouTube. We relaunched the YouTube channel back in March and have been populating that thing with content every day, usually live. So search PW Torch on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. I think you'll be happy with the content that you get there. And if you go VIP, you can also check out my weekly or weekly-ish VIP audio show on the Canvas, where we talk about the art of wrestling, and pwtorch.com/goVIP if you want to check that out. You can follow the brand on Twitter at PWTorch. You can follow me on Twitter at ZHeydornTorch. Javier, do you want to plug your social media or no?
I mean, I got something on Twitter, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay, fair enough. So no.
Yeah, I think it's Javier Machado LK, I think is what it is. Yeah, I got it right. No, sorry, J Machado LK, at J Machado LK. I never tweet anything out, but if you follow me, I'll follow you.
If that's not a sales pitch to follow Javier on Twitter, I don't know what it is.
I'm not long-winded
on
Twitter.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening once again. Very much appreciated. Javier, thank you. And we'll catch everybody next time. See ya.
Have a good one.